A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." When he got home and away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you even likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from the outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and passes out into the latrine?" Thus he declared all foods clean. "But what comes out of a man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from within his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, and deceit, licentiousness, evil, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I prepare, or when I encourage people to get prepared for confession, one of the various things I encourage them to do is to not just look at their external behavior. You know, I got angry, you know, 3 or 4 times. You know, I got I looked at some things I shouldn't have. Whatever it might be, a little list of externally observable behaviors. That's certainly part of preparing for confession. But the real vein, if you will, to search is within. What are the reasons that I get angry? What are the reasons that I'm not generous to the poor, or that certain people in particular cause me great annoyance, and I'm ugly towards them? What are the drives? What's underneath? What's deep within, as the Lord says? He says, "Don't you understand? You got to look in your heart to understand where evil deeds come from." The Jewish people were very concerned about external purity. They had a lot of rituals and a lot of rules regarding external purity. Now, of itself, this is a good thing, right? I mean, we certainly need to attend to our external behavior and to the things that can influence us externally. We should be careful what we look at. We should be careful our external behaviors and how these things lead to even deeper sins. But the invitation that Jesus is making here is that we look deeper. So, you know, take, for example, anger, you know. All right, I got angry at so-and-so several times, and I said things to them I shouldn't have. All right, now, why do I get angry? You know, what was the underlying cause or the root of that anger? What are the deeper drives of sin? And when we begin to look at those deeper drives, that's, I think, when confession really begins to take wing for us, and we look and we see, we start to learn about ourselves, and the Lord begins to show us some of those deeper drives that give rise to the bad behavior. Now, for example, anger. Very often, anger is rooted in fear, right? It's now, let's first of all distinguish righteous anger from unrighteous anger, right? There is such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus manifested quite often, actually. But whenever there's injustice and we observe things that are incorrect or improper, there's a righteous anger that stirs within us. So let's exclude that for now from the discussion. Let's just focus on unrighteous anger for a moment and say, well, what are some of the things that cause it? And again, the root of much of that is fear, right? Fear. I'm anxious about something, or someone has interrupted what I was doing, and I might not get something done on time, and so I'm afraid, and so I get, "Oh, you stop it, leave me alone," you know, and we get angry and we lash out. And it's because we're afraid that we're not going to be able to finish everything we wanted to do. A lot of times, and go even one level deeper from that fear is egocentricity. That I think that the whole world should revolve around me and my agenda and the schedule I set this morning when I got up. And I'm going to do the following 5 things, and by gosh, the phone is ringing again, you know. And so we get angry. And what it's really about is that this kind of egocentric notion that the whole world should revolve around me, my agenda, what I've decided, and so on. There's also a kind of a lack of humility, isn't there? For example, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So a lot of people had plans today. Well, look outside. It's snowing to beat the band. You can't see through those windows, but I can assure you it's snowing quite heavily. And many plans today got canceled, you see. Many things which were... I was supposed to go to 3 meetings down at the Pastoral Center today. All canceled. But you see, again, there are some disappointments that people experience today and so on. So in the end, there's a kind of a lack of humility. The book of James says, look, don't say tomorrow I'm going to do such and so, but say, if the Lord wills it, I will do thus and so. But again, because we lack humility, and we make our plans, and things should revolve around us and what we've decided to do, and I'm at the command of my life, and all of those sorts of, you see, those are the deeper drives. Those are some of the thoughts that give rise to fear. And then fear gives rise to anger, and anger gives rise to these outbursts and these lashing outs and this being terse with people and so on. Now, all I'm saying here, just by way of example, is just using anger. You could use all kinds of other things which go on, but there's deeper drives at work, aren't there? And so the Lord is saying today, don't you realize, he says, that it is from within a man's heart, that things come forth, the bad behaviors come forth. For example, you know, and then he talks about some of the deeper drives here, and we'll look at a few of them in just a second, but again, just using anger, you see the multiple layers that are going on. I could have gone further, you know. I mean, there's lots of, a lot of drives that contribute to fear, and then fear contributing, for example, to anger. All right. Now, the Lord also then talks about, again, some of these deeper drives. And it's a wonderful list to really meditate on if you want to get ready for confession, you know. For example, he simply says, first of all, he begins with evil thoughts. Now, most of our negative emotions arise from, frankly, thoughts. We think that feelings sort of exist by themselves. No, usually they're almost always the result of thoughts. For example, that the world should revolve around me. That's a thought. That is a theory or a thought that's in my mind that tells me that, look, you know, everything should go my way. And if it doesn't, I'm resentful and bent out of shape and I want to be in control. That's a thought. That I should be in control is a thought. And when I'm not feeling in control or not experiencing control, then that gives rise to feelings like fear, feelings like anger, and so on. So it begins, doesn't it, with the thought life. In good psychotherapy, there's a lot of bad psychotherapy, but in good psychotherapy, there is a great deal of focus on the thoughts, what they refer to as cognitive distortions that give rise to negative emotions, see, which then begin to dominate a person's life, and they go through life fearful or anxious or egocentric or bitter or resentful or all the things that people carry that in the end weigh them down, cause them to be depressed or what have you. So again, it begins, doesn't it, with the thought life, right? And it's all about thoughts, sisters. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a character. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And it all begins with our thoughts. See how precious our minds are? See, so the Lord starts out with evil thoughts. He says, what are some of the thoughts that you carry around that have nothing to do with God? See, that are worldly priorities, that's worldly thinking, that's rooted in what the world thinks. See, but not as the world thinks do I think, says the Lord. And not as the world sees do I see, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts, my ways above your ways. So more and more, if we can begin to develop the mind of God, and of course we can't do it, but the Lord does it, then we begin to see these evil thoughts go away. Our emotional life begins to come into order, and some of the negative behaviors that manifest from these bad emotional things and bad thoughts begin to go away, and it begins with a renewal of our mind. Be ye not conform to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. See, now that's just the first one. I could go on, couldn't I, this morning? Look out for me. But again, unchastity, theft, murder. These sorts of things, come from within. There's one I want to focus on in the list, and as I say, I don't have time in a daily mass to go through them all, but notice there's one in here that's very common today, and it's very, it's almost never mentioned. In fact, the word has almost gone out of our vocabulary, and this is licentiousness. Licentiousness. Basically, licentiousness is really at the heart of what Adam and Eve did. Licentiousness is, look, I will do what I want to do, and I will decide whether it's right or wrong. No one will tell me what to do. And no one will tell me what is right and wrong. I am the master of that. See? And we went through a period in the 60s and 70s when I was a kid where conscience of a person sort of reigned supreme over even the teachings of the church, over even the Bible, over anything. If my conscience tells me it's okay. Well, that wasn't conscience. That was just stinking thinking. The conscience is a very powerful and essential part of the human person where the voice of God is. And the real conscience, not the made-up notion of conscience that ruled in the 60s and 70s, is the voice of God deep within. And you know what? And this is why, as I say, and I often have to deal with people this way, and I'm sure you do as well. You have to sometimes finally say to a person, look, you know it's wrong. And you know, if they're honest for a moment, deep down, they know something. They may have all kinds of silly, stupid thinking and all kinds of rationalizations to try to say that it's what they're doing is really okay. But deep down inside, if you can get a person in touch with their conscience, they know it's wrong. And one of the reasons they're so angry with you is because you're telling them what they know. And people hate that. When you cut through all of the layers of denial, all of the layers of sophistry, and all of the stinking thinking, and you just go right to the conscience and you say, you know what you're doing is wrong. And you know what? They do. Now that's the real conscience. But there was this false notion of conscience that somehow that I should be able to decide for myself what's right and wrong. And the Bible and the teachings of the church, well, that's just someone else's conscience. There's only one truth. So there's only one conscience. And you can't, you know, just now, some people, again, you know, struggle to understand all truth at once. You know, it's our nature to kind of come to know things little by little and so on. So again, there is some reverence we have to have for where a person is in their awareness of things. But in the end, deep down inside, about all the basics, conscience is right there and is known, seen. And again, licentiousness is this attitude that I will do what I want to do, and I will decide whether it's right or wrong. Now, see, there's two layers of it. I will do what I want to do. Yes, that's just being plain willful. And the licentious part of it is that I'm free to decide whether it's right or wrong. See, it's an abuse of freedom, isn't it? And that's this word. And it's so common today, licentiousness. And it's this attitude that no one is going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what to think. I am God, basically, is what the text says. Isn't that what the devil said to Adam and Eve? You will be like gods. Did God really tell you not to eat of any of these trees? And they said, well, no, that's not true. He only said one tree. Okay, so he's trying to make God seem unreasonable. That's Satan's first. But that didn't work. His first ploy didn't work. But the second ploy. But really, why should any tree be off limits? Why should there be any limits or any boundaries? And that's licentiousness. No one will limit me. No one will hinder my freedom. No one will tell me what to do. It's prideful, it's egotistical, it's licentious, and it's the commonest attitude today. And in the end, when people have this attitude, the church seems unreasonable. The Bible seems unreasonable. Tradition, any form of traditional values seem unreasonable. Why? Because all these things circumscribe limits for us. That there are forbidden trees. That there are things we ought not do. And the world is shaking its fist at that attitude. That is licentiousness. And it is one of the biggest sins. Isn't it interesting that the word has almost gone out of our vocabulary? Because when something is so prevalent, you stop seeing it. And you even stop mentioning it. Talk to a fish about water and they'll say, what water? Right? Talk to an, a modern American about licentiousness, they'll say, what licentiousness? So again, now I've gone on too long in a crowded chapel, I'm sorry, so I'll end now. But again, see, it's going deeper, isn't it? And we all, whether we like to admit it or not, we all struggle a little bit with that licentiousness piece, don't we? And all of these things, malice, deceit, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly, all of these deeper drives. And then the seven deadly sins, you know. All of those as well. Just look carefully at those and really study them and begin to learn their moves and how they work inside. And that's when confession really begins to take wing. It's not like, well, I got angry three times, I looked at some dirty pictures, you know, whatever the person might say. That's all up on the surface. And those things should be confessed. But why? Why? Go deeper. Learn the deeper drives of sin, the attitudes, the thoughts. Learn the basic deep drives of sin. Learn to name them and begin to have mastery over them by the power of Jesus Christ. That's when confession really starts to come alive, when we go deeper. And that's what the Lord is inviting us to today. Amen.